Mercy and Grace is the title, and here's Mark Rumfellow.
I want to talk to you about mercy and grace, and I think that I don't know how much if we'll even get in the grace part of it, but we want to start with mercy this morning. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I hope that I have the ability to convey to you the true scope of mercy. Because we're going to see how important mercy is concerning God. So in Ephesians chapter 2, read in verse 1. I tell you what, let's start in verse 4. Let's just jump down to this. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so here we've read verse 4, interestingly, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Now let's get an understanding of the word mercy. In the Strong's Concordance, the word mercy carries the understanding of compassionate, or to have pity. Webster's defines mercy, refraining from harming or punishing offenders or enemies. Refraining from harming or punishing offenders or enemies. Kindness in excess of what may be expected. Mercy, compassionate, having pity, refraining from a punishment that would be due an offender or an enemy. Now here's what's interesting about that if you turn to Romans chapter 3. Look in Romans chapter 3. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Look in verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." It's interesting to note there in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies," and you go back to that definition of mercy, a refraining from punishment or judgment towards offenders or enemies. Here we are, enemies of God. And yet in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." God, who is rich in mercy. Showing that we who are described in the Scriptures as being enemies of God, God refrained from punishing us. What is that? That's His mercy. His mercy. You know what's interesting about this word? The word mercy does not show up in the Bible until Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. Turn back to Genesis 19. And in Genesis chapter 19, now this is the account here about Lot. You know, Abraham and his nephew Lot, they were looking at the land, and Abraham said, "All right, Lot, what do you want?" Where do you want to go? Lot looked over the cities. He wanted to be an urbanite. He wanted to get up in the cities. He wanted to dwell in the cities. Abraham, the older man, looked over there, and a little bit of a Green Acres attitude came over him. He wanted to go out into the country. So here Lot is in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and dwelling amongst the people there. Now, God had sent a couple of angels there to warn Lot about the impending doom that's coming upon these cities. So let's just start in verse 14, I guess. It's hard when you got these large storylines where you begin and, you know, how you work into these things. But I think we can get enough here in verse 14, starting there. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men, and that's a reference to the angels, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for that which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. And then it goes into Abraham here. So we just wanted to get an understanding here about mercy. It says, Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Magnified thy compassion. You see, God was going to rain fire down on these cities. And you know, by all means and purposes, he could have consumed Lot and his family with the rest of those in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because Lot is in the same situation that we're in. Think about it. It was by one man's disobedience. Who's that a reference to, people? It's Adam's disobedience that many became what? Sinners. So Lot is a direct generational pass down of the sin from Adam unto himself. Lot is a sinner himself. And the sin calls for the wrath of God. But God was compassionate upon Lot. Now the question is, why was God merciful to Lot? What caused Lot to stand out from the rest of the inhabitants of the cities? Look over in 2 Peter. Look back in 2 Peter, look in chapter 2. This is being written in a tribulation-type form of God's wrath that will come out upon those that are false preachers in the last days, okay? So keep that in mind. It's about his wrath. And that's what Peter's writing here. Look in verse 6, chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities, of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now watch this. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So here is a situation where Peter is referring to Lot, about Lot's situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says he's just. He's a godly man. Well, I'm here to tell you that his godliness and his justness before God was based upon Abraham. Uncle Abraham took Lot. Uncle Abraham showed him the Lord. Uncle Abraham showed him the sacrifices. Uncle Abraham showed him everything necessary for him to be just before God. But if you look at it, Lot went into those cities and he witnessed, heard, and saw all of the things that these cities were doing, their lifestyles, and it vexed his righteous soul. It vexed his righteous soul. You know, that word vexed is interesting. It has to do with, like, to punish, to torment. It's like having prisoners of war, and you have a prisoner camp, and you want information out of them. Well, you don't treat them to a good dinner. What do? You torment them. You punish them. You make them talk. Well, that's the same context of what he's talking about when Lot vexed his righteous soul. He troubled it. He tormented his soul in seeing and hearing. And folks, that's something for us to think about. Yeah, we're saved by grace. Amen?
Amen.
We have eternal life. Amen?
Amen?
But we're in this vile world and we see and hear things that are not suitable for us. And we many times are brought down by those things that we hear and we see. And folks, it's imperative that we as Christians draw strength off of God's Word. That's where your strength is going to come to offset the things going on in this world. Because I'm here to tell you, you're not going to change the world. I got in the mail a few weeks ago. It's a conference that's being held, I think, over in Texas. And they had a list of the preachers. None that we know of. I mean, they had their picture there and their names. I didn't recognize any of them. They just weren't what I would call high profile. Maybe in their own mind they're high profile. But they were having a conference over there. You know what the title of the conference was? Conquering Sin. Think about it. Conquering sin. Tell me one person that ever conquered sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody? Who was the only one that ever conquered sin? Folks, you're in this world. It's a vile, evil world, and it's going to affect your righteous soul. The only way you can offset it is by spending time in the Word of God. You know what Lot had the opportunity to do? Lot had the opportunity to run. You know, the Bible says he was warned of God. But you know what it doesn't say in 2 Peter? He lingered. Did y'all note that? He lingered. You know why he lingered? Maybe it's just opinionated. I believe he lingered because he had friends there. He made friends. He was in the social scene. I believe he lingered because his flesh, like our flesh, is sinful and had a certain sinful attraction to what was going on there. And he had gotten so wrapped up into the system of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was having these thoughts, you know, this hesitant, You know, kind of like if I haven't seen you in a while, I say, oh, hey, how come you haven't been at church? Oh, I've been busy. Lot was busy. How come you don't come to Wednesday night study? Oh, I just, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is. That's what Lot was doing. How come you don't come to Sunday school? We got Sunday school. Oh, well, you know, it's early and blah, blah, blah. That's what Lot justified it all in his mind when he lingered. How many of us linger? We linger concerning coming to church. But you know something? The Bible says Lot's response to God is, He showed mercy upon me. He showed mercy upon me. What was God doing? He was showing compassion upon Lot. He was showing pity upon Lot. Why? Because He was giving Lot to get out of those cities before His wrath fell upon those cities. Showing mercy where mercy was due. You know what we can't do? We can't run. My question to you is, where are you going to go? No, I'm talking about getting out of this situation we're in. This entire world is like Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, why is that? Not everybody's homosexual. We're not talking about homosexuality. We're talking about a sinful world that will ultimately get the wrath of God. We're in it. We're in it. But God showed mercy by allowing Lot to leave the cities. You know what's beautiful about all that? Before God's wrath comes, He's going to get us out of here. He is going to deliver us just like He delivered Lot. Make no mistake about it. Those that are out there preaching that we're going through the tribulation, they don't comprehend God's mercy. Let me tell you, those that are caught in God's wrath, they're not going to experience the mercy of God. The Bible says once we're out of here, God's going to send them a strong delusion that they all will believe a lie. During the tribulation, God will show them, give them a strong delusion that they're not even going to believe the truth that will be preached, obviously, by the 144,000 and those Jews. But they're not going to believe it. He's going to send them a strong delusion. And look at the end result of this. Look over in Psalm. Look in the second Psalm. Look in the second Psalm. Verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. There's your heathen. Now let's see what the response is. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. After the rapture takes place, folks, the Bible says in verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I want you to get a picture of that. When we're gone out of here, there is no more Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. There is no more, but God who is rich in mercy, that's gone. Then the heathens of this world are going to be sent a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And they'll be clamoring in the tribulation. They'll be clamoring and crying out to God, what's going on? I don't want to be in this. This is horrible. Think about the tribulation and the horrors that are going to come upon this world. And you know when people are screaming out to God for help, you know what He's going to be doing? Laughing. Laughing. If you cried out to the Lord right now, Lord, save me. I believe your Son died for me. I believe He was buried. I believe He was raised again the third day. God won't laugh at you. God will save you. We have God's mercy today. What do we have? His compassion. His pity. You see, Romans chapter 5, when we were enemies, punishment goes out to the enemies. Judgment goes out to the enemies. And that's what we deserved. But God looked down upon us and He had pity upon us. Imagine that. I bet if someone broke into your house and killed all your family members, and you were the only one that lived, it was brutal. Brutal! All your loved ones have been killed by this individual. And they arrest him and bring him to trial and find him guilty. And it was left up to you to make the determination on his punishment. What do you think you would do to that individual based upon the situation and your emotions? Give them the max. Death. Anybody else? What would you do? Huh? Would make it to the trial. Hey, that's been known to happen. You ever notice they bring in a lot of these high profile murder cases around the back of the courthouse with a police escort and a bullet vest on? Why? Boom! You know what it is? It's no mercy. It's justification. It's, folks, it's no mercy upon those that do that type thing. Now think from God's perspective. He looks down and He's looking at enemies. He's looking at enemies. He's looking at there's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none just. There's none righteous. Now what if He acted upon His emotion from that? What do we deserve? You got it. But boy, there's something there that the devil is keeping hid in a nice little package. Oh, he's got it all packaged up. The devil doesn't want anybody to see this thing. You know what it is? It's called the mercy of God. The devil doesn't want man today to see the mercy of God. Why? Because he wants God to be a big bully. Don't you know he sent Katrina to take out New Orleans because of the sin? He caused the earthquake in the mid-80s to hit San Francisco because of the sin. I'm thinking, well, boy, he's got a bad aim. He should have just taken out the world. We all deserve to die. Little do they not mention is Biloxi and Gulfport that got wiped off the map. Lest we forget the southwest portion of the state. See, that's what the devil wants people to believe. That God is going to get you. You better straighten your act up. You better walk right before God. I'm talking to people that's been sinning this week. God's not happy with you. You need to rededicate. Come down the aisle and kneel and we'll have a rededication to God. And they do it every Sunday. That's a nice little package thing that the devil has all bundled up. And in it is God's mercy and He doesn't want anybody to see it. God's a compassionate God. He's a merciful God. And so God, rather than pour His wrath out upon us and destroy us all, His mercy overrode His wrath, thank God. And instead of sending us to death, He sent His Son to death to die for our sins. He died in our behalf. Christ died on the cross for us. You know, the Bible says in Romans that God delivered up His own Son. Man, that verse just knocks me out. Knocks me out. Why? He delivered up His own Son. We talk about Jesus Christ willingly go to the cross. Yeah, but it was on the Father's will and desire. So because of what Christ did on the cross, God could be merciful to us. Folks, we ought to rejoice every day that we're living, that we're walking in the mercy of God. We act like we have nothing to be happy about. Oh, if you knew my job, if you knew this, if you... No. What you've got to focus in on is what you know about God. Learn how to celebrate and get excited about what you have in Christ Jesus rather than letting the affairs of this world vex your soul like Lot. When he went to his sons-in-law and said, look, guys, we got to pack up and get out. God's fixing to destroy this place. They laughed at him and said, oh, you're like the others that make fun of God out there. So they stayed behind. Even his wife, who was under the command that none should look back, looked back. This world will have an effect on you as a Christian. And the only way you can offset it is by getting into this Word. And we've got a good crowd here this morning. Thank you all for coming. Expect to see you all here Wednesday night. What? I mean, if you want to get the Word in you, come Wednesday night. We kind of do that too. Mercy. You know, there was an interesting thing that Jerry Lockhart preached on in just a small part of what he preached us for Christ. It's very interesting how we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And we all know the ambassadorship is one where one of a country is sent to another country and represents the country he's from in all diplomatic affairs to the country that he's in. And that's basically what we're doing here. We're here in another country right now. And we bring the diplomatic affairs of God to this country that we're in right now called the world. And what the world needs to see more than anything is the mercy of God. You understand? But it's like Jerry said, and I never thought of this. The ambassadors are prone to the availability of all life's luxuries. Just think about that. I was talking to Pat Burrell. Some of you know him, some don't. He has a personal friend that was an ambassador for the United States. And we were talking about Jerry's message. I said, I just never thought about the ambassadors, even though they're representative, they have all of this first class, upper tier treatment presented to them. He said, I have a personal friend that was an ambassador for the United States. And he said, let me tell you, they have it nice. I mean, those embassies are equipped like a 5-star hotel, like a palace. And then the country you're in, you get the best of the best. We as ambassadors are subject to that type of thing. And it can affect your thought process. It can affect your stand, your walk with the Lord. Even though you're an ambassador. See, Lot was affected by the things he saw and he heard. He was in the city, but he was affected by it. So much so, his son-in-law said, "How, you're like one that mocked." His wife looked back. We can be so gravitated to the things of this world that we lose the scope of what we're here for. And folks, we're here to represent the grace and mercy of God Almighty. Because if it wasn't shed to us, we would be lost. We would have no hope. So it is incumbent upon us as ambassadors to present the same mercy and the same grace that He bestowed upon us to those that are out there. Have you done that? We were driving back from Chattanooga and discussing, it would be interesting, and I've said this before, it would be interesting that if everybody in here this week goes out and at least each one of us witnesses to one person, not somebody we've been having Bible talk with, you know, and they don't believe. I've been talking to them for 2 years. Well, stop and move on. They don't want to come to salvation or the knowledge of truth. Move on. But it'd be interesting to see all of us in here make it a point this week to witness to one person. I don't know what to say. Are you saved yourself? Well, yeah. Then convey your salvation to them and how you got saved, because they're going to... That's the pattern. How you get saved is how the next one gets saved. It'd be interesting to note how it can affect you as a Christian and affect others also. That's being an ambassador. You see, we've got the mercy of God. When we deserve the worst of the worst, we got the best of the best in Christ Jesus. Amen? In conclusion, with this time of mercy, there is not anybody that should ever question or doubt where they're going to go when they leave this world. God's provided everything for you. Christ died for your sins. He paid for all of your sins. He was buried and God raised Him the third day. Therefore, eternal life is right there by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I went row to row and I started with Glenn and asked each individual, row to row, are you saved? Are you going to heaven when you die? When I get to you, what would your answer be? I just asked each individual here, what is your answer? Yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. If there's any here that has not trusted in Jesus Christ, we pray that right now they'll put their faith in the Lord who died for them, was buried and raised again, that they can have the same salvation that we have and that hope of glory set before us. We thank you for all these things. We thank you for our salvation. Give you honor and praise in all that you've done for us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.